Matthew Stuckey here, and I want to make a quick video showing you and proving to you that the oneness doctrine and similar false teachings that diverge from the biblical Trinity is what the Bible's referring to when it talks about the spirit of Antichrist in the book of 1 John. And at the end of this video, I want to explain to you exactly why the Bible refers to it as the spirit of Antichrist, that the Bible's not just being overly dramatic, but it actually has a real point that it's trying to prove. Now, quickly, in case you're not familiar, what the oneness doctrine teaches is at the very beginning that there was one. There was not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost at the very beginning. There was one, and then at some point, God the Father chose to become God the Son, and then he can choose to become God the Holy Ghost. But that there's not three, but there's only one. See, what the Trinity teaches is that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost have always existed and always will exist. Of course, the Bible teaches that there is one God, but the Bible says that God is a Trinity. Just like I have a body, soul, and spirit, and yet there's one of me, it's the same way with God. Now, of course, this is something that is a little bit confusing to understand, trying to figure out and understand the nature of God, but this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach that there was this one God at the very beginning who then decided to morph into God the Son and then later on morphed into God the Holy Ghost. No, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost have always existed. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, the verse I'm referencing is this. It says, 1 John 4, verse 3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in this world." So the Bible refers to the spirit of Antichrist, and the Bible says someone who does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now here's the thing about this. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and any religion that would claim to be Christian would say, well, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That verse by itself doesn't necessarily really tell you what it's talking about. You have to look at the whole chapter and really the book of 1 John to fully understand the context of what's being referred to. Now, in the earlier verses in 1 John chapter 4, it talks about testing the spirits. What's interesting is we often think about testing the spirits in terms of, does somebody teach a work salvation or that salvation is a free gift? Does somebody teach salvation is forever, once saved, always saved, or do they teach that you can lose it? And we're always ready when someone says that you can lose your salvation, or they say you got to repent of your sins, or you got to live a good life, you got to get baptized. We know that they're preaching a false gospel and that they're not saved and they're heretics and they're devils. Those are very easy to spot. However, when people diverge from the true nature of who God is, that's a little bit more difficult. It's a little bit more complex, and it's quite honestly just something that we haven't thought of quite as much. And so it's easier to get confused by that than something else. And the Bible's really telling us we need to test this out and make sure that they're right, make sure they're saved, because they could be a devil who just appears to say a lot of things that are right when in reality they're not even saved themselves. But what's interesting is 1 John chapter 4 really focuses on the nature of God, okay? Now in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, this is what the Bible says. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." So the Bible talks about the love of God was manifested toward us because that he sent his only begotten Son. Now here's the thing about this. The God there is referring to God the Father, because God the Father sent God the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, both God the Father and God the Son are mentioned, and what that shows you is there is a distinction between the Father and the Son, okay? So if I said that I am going to pick up the groceries, I would say I'm going to pick up the groceries if I was talking about myself. I wouldn't say I'm sending myself to pick up the groceries. However, I could say that I'm sending my wife to pick up the groceries. I wouldn't say I'm going my wife to pick up the groceries. So the Bible's saying sent, and what that implies is that God the Father sent God the Son. Not that God the Father sent himself, because then it wouldn't be saying sent, okay? But it also says God the Father sent God the Son. And so not only is there a distinction between the Father and the Son, this also shows you that the Son already exists because he sent the Son. For example, if I said before I was married, I'm sending my wife to pick up the groceries, that wouldn't make sense because I don't have a wife. But now that I am married, I could say I'm sending my wife to pick up the groceries, and that makes sense. And so this shows us that God the Son already existed. Not only that, but it refers to him as the only begotten Son. Now here's the thing about this. There's a difference between the first begotten and the only begotten. Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the dead because he resurrected and got that glorified body. However, us, we get that glorified body at the rapture. And so he's the first begotten of the dead. But when it refers to him as the only begotten, that's not the same thing as only son, because if you're saved, then you're a son of God. You're a child of God. But he's the only begotten son because of the fact our sin nature is passed down from our fathers. I'm a sinner because my dad was a sinner. Jesus Christ was not a sinner because of the fact God the Father was his father. So he was perfect. He's the only begotten son. Muhammad wasn't, Buddha wasn't. Jesus Christ is the only begotten son. And so that shows, it actually shows us the deity and the nature of God there as well. Now the deity of Jesus Christ is proven also in 1 John 3 verse 16 where it says, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. God laid down his life for us. And then 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that isn't true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So the Bible's very clear that Jesus Christ is a true God and eternal life. So we understand that, but we also understand that there is a Trinity, okay? You say, well, how do you know that it's referring to the oneness doctrine? Well, if you go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, it says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So the Bible says that if you were to deny the Son, you don't have the Father. If you deny the Father, you don't have the Son. You must have both because you need to understand that they are distinct persons. And it says that you are Antichrist if you deny the Father and the Son. This word Antichrist only appears four times in our Bible. Now, of course, we understand the ultimate Antichrist that is going to come, the son of perdition, the man of sin. But see, what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby ye know, we know that it is the last time. The Bible says the Antichrist is going to come, but even now are there many Antichrists, so we know it's the last time. And what that's indicating is there's going to be many people that are going to rise up with this false teaching. And what it said just a few verses later is, if you deny the Son, you don't have the Father. Showing there's a distinction. Showing this oneness doctrine that there is only one person is false. The Bible is very clear that there's three persons. There's the Father and the Son. And it said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, it refers to it as a spirit of Antichrist if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And when you look at the context of 1 John, that's referring to denying that there is a Father and there is a Son. And there's specific things mentioned in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 about the nature of Jesus Christ, how they're distinct persons, how Jesus already existed. He is eternally the Son of God. So we're seeing that this spirit of Antichrist is someone who would buy into this oneness teaching and deny the fact that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And it's in the context of 1 John, it's very, very clear. But the question is, why does the Bible refer to this as the spirit of Antichrist? Because the word Antichrist only appears four times in the Bible, and so you can tell when you're cross-referencing here that this is what the Bible is referring to here, that basically someone who denies the Father and the Son. And there's the ultimate Antichrist, but even now are there many Antichrists. We see many people that are rising up with this oneness teaching. We're seeing Baptists rise up with this, not just the oneness Pentecostals. And this used to be something that only existed in other religions. See, throughout human history, very few people have actually really ever been polytheistic. Almost all of them had a monotheistic sort of view with a oneness sort of teaching, where basically God could manifest himself in many different forms, but they didn't deny the existence of one God. And you can look at the ancient religions and ancient empires, and you can see that's the case. But they believed in a oneness sort of doctrine. It's just only in recent years this has really been attached to Christianity. What's interesting is that religions are looking for the coming of their Savior, which is going to be the Antichrist. And you have to realize this Antichrist is going to have a oneness sort of belief. He's going to say he's a manifestation of the true God, and he is the true God, is what he's going to say, but he is a manifestation. So all the religions around the world are going to accept that. Hindus are waiting for the return of Kalki. And Hindus are a classic example of a religion that appears polytheistic, but is actually monotheistic, but they believe in a oneness sort of view. You know, the Buddhists are looking for, Maitreya Buddha is the name, And so they believe in this coming Savior, and he is going to be the fulfillment, okay? And so they're not negating other religions. They believe this person is going to bring all the religions together, and this Antichrist is going to be a oneness sort of God, where basically he says, I am a manifestation, and then all the religions of the world will buy into it. With Christianity, now that most Christians believe in a pre-trib rapture, you know, the reality is the Bible says Jesus is coming after the tribulation, and Christians are not ready for this, and the Antichrist is going to come, and then, you know what, many of them are going to buy into it. Those that are not saved, they're going to be deceived. So I want you to realize the Antichrist is going to be a oneness God. That's what he's going to promote, and he's going to bring all the religions of the world together, and he's going to say he's a manifestation of the true God, and God has manifested himself in many forms in the past, and he is the true manifestation. And you know what? He's going to bring all of these religions of the world together. So the Bible refers to it as the spirit of Antichrist when you start teaching this oneness doctrine, because that's what the actual Antichrist is going to be. He is going to teach that he is basically a manifestation of the true God, and all the religions of the world are going to buy into it because they already believe in this oneness sort of doctrine, and they're waiting for this man to bring peace, and in reality, it's going to be the Antichrist. But you know, 1 John warns us. That's why it says, test the spirits, because you know, even now already is it in the world, and the indication is this is something that's going to be increasing as we get close to the end times. And as we've seen in the last couple years, we're really starting to see an increase of people that would merge it into Baptist doctrine. And you know, you really have to test those spirits, because many of those people will seem saved and say a lot of right things, but if you actually listen to them, they actually deny who Jesus Christ is. To be saved, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, according to Acts 16. However, you have to believe that Jesus would do what he said he'd do, and that he is who he says he was. See, we often test spirits in terms of, do they teach that Jesus did what he said he did, that he gave us a free gift, eternal life? We also need to test to make sure that they understand that Jesus Christ is who he says he was. And you know what? He was God in the flesh. However, that's not the only thing that we should be testing people on. They need to understand that God the Father sent God the Son, sent the only begotten Son, to be the Savior of the world. Thank you, and God bless.